This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
He's going to be challenged to be a professional football player, to do the little things the right way. And that foundation, I know Ben's going to hit that early and often, get that foundation strong. Because you're going to build everything off of there. So once that's there, now we can continue to get better and play more consistently.
There's Ryan Poles talking about what they need their quarterback to do, what their offense needs to look like. Ben Johnson is now in the building. That is extremely helpful for the development, I think, of someone who had not a terrible year last year. It's hard when you look at Caleb Williams in comparison to Jaden Daniels, because the Commanders had such great success and he had all of these incredible moments, one of which happened in front of us all, unfortunately, on that Sunday afternoon in D.C. or Landover.
Thanks for bringing that back up.
I mean, it's part of the intertwining of their stories.
But you got to, to your point, you got to look at Caleb in a bubble. I mean, let's look at Caleb and his situation. And let's understand, of course, that it's not something that he had full control over. There was brutal coaching around him and, frankly, a brutal plan by Ryan Poles that he is lucky to survive.
When I talked with Spice Adams, Spice saying it almost looked like Caleb had to learn on his own. That's terrifying. Dude,
the way that Poles talked in the postseason about things that they missed going back to training camp, in terms of some of the basics of teaching that Caleb was behind, they really, look, we've been over this, but they really thought that Caleb was going to come in and be a pre-made quarterback and carry them, be the great deodorant beyond what coaches had. And it was really brutal.
Fix all of the things that are wrong just by his play. And the things that were wrong were still there. And then you had all of this stuff converge on him where the offensive coordinator doesn't know what he's doing.
It's because Poles hired a buddy as recommended by his agent, and then that guy hired a buddy as recommended by his freaking agent, who's the same guy. And it's like, and you entrusted all of those people with your rookie quarterback, number one overall pick, potential generational talent. It's really, it's pathetic. And again, Poles lucky to survive.
Then you have to have a guy that's supposed to be there to anchor your offensive line that kind of doesn't want to play football.
Bad signing. All dog team. Starter on the all dog team.
Absolutely terrible. But that still shouldn't give Caleb permission to just be bad. There are things that he can work on and get better at. And I think that he's going to, from what I'm told, he has already been out there working on taking snaps from center and what play action, doing play action type movements to get ready for what Ben Johnson likes to do in his offense.
Good, because like I was talking about it with Jason Leisure yesterday. I think the focus shifts to Caleb. Not that we weren't focused on him. I guess the way to phrase it would be the accountability focus is going to shift to Caleb. Because what do you got? Man, what you got? Because now they're giving you a line, and I think they're going to give you a run game. And you've got receivers. You got a couple of them. They might give you another weapon. They might draft you a running back or draft you another tight end. So what do you got? And that's why I really enjoyed the conversation with Sean King yesterday about year two of Caleb.
We had Sean King on the show, and the Midday audience is very familiar with Sean King. Strangely enough, when Dan, Layla, and I were at Circa in August, Sean King kind of made his pronouncements about the two quarterbacks, saying how he preferred Jaden Daniels, and then he explained why. And there were a lot of people who were mad at him. So we brought him back on yesterday, in part to do a little tongue-in-cheek victory lap with him. Also because we really like Sean, and he's got interesting thoughts. He wasn't just a quarterback in the league. He was also a quarterback coach at the college level. He takes this stuff pretty seriously, even though he has fun with us. And it was interesting when we were asking him about how Caleb can get better. One of the things that he offered up was Caleb being willing to do everything that he needs to do to get better.
The issue this year will be, is Caleb now ready to submit? Remember now, this was a Heisman winner. Dad was talking about whoever drafted him had to give him a percentage of ownership in the team. So we can't forget what the reality was. Now that he's been humbled, now that he has a offensive-minded guy coming in, but we don't know if Ben Johnson's a good head coach. We don't know if Aaron Glenn's a head coach. We don't know if Kellen Moore is a head coach or Schottenheimer in Dallas. We're going to have to wait and see. But Ben is coming from a successful organization that played offensive football at a high level. Is Caleb willing to submit and do things the right way fundamentally from start to finish? Because that's what's going to create consistency.
I really like that phrasing and that context, because he's not talking, he says fundamentals, but he's not just talking about footwork and things like that. He's talking about throwing to the correct read at the correct time out of a pocket instead of holding the ball a little too long and trying to be a hero, even though he can be a hero. He's good enough to do that
stuff. And there's going to be times when he has to.
For sure.
But it shouldn't be his mindset as he walks to the line of scrimmage should not be, I have to be a hero on this play.
Let me go execute this thing and use everything that I've got, which includes a really good coach and a really good scheme and a good line. Let me just go ahead and execute this thing and submit to the greater good, the greater picture. And I love
how,
that context.
How you can be great inside of the structure.
Right. And then when the structure falls apart or a play gets extended, go be you and go kill it, man. That's what makes people special when they can add that part. And it very much reminded me of what Olin Krutz said to us when we were breaking down the offensive line additions and what it meant for the overall team as it relates to Caleb.
They're buying into you, right? That's the message. They're buying into you, buy back into them. Engross yourself in Ben Johnson's offense, man. Go there, erase all the noise. Don't listen to anybody else. We got you everything you need, man. Now it's you. Now buy in. Now execute the offense and the details.
See, there it is, man. Like,
they're giving saying you everything the same you
need.
Thing.
That's what I'm saying. Those things go together, I think.
They're saying the same thing, that being a part of this process is important, and Caleb has to accept, hey, things were terrible, and it wasn't your fault that things were terrible last year. We organizationally didn't put you in the best position. But guess what we did, though? This offseason, we made moves to do that. We brought in the coach that fits, that is where we want to go offensively. As Sean said, we don't know if he can do this job because play caller and head coach are two different jobs. But out of the coaches that were available for you to work with, here's the consensus, the guy that you wanted to have as your head coach.
Think about it this way for the listeners. If you dropped Caleb Williams into the Lions offense and system and gave him enough time, a full off season to learn everything and a full training camp to work on everything, would he be willing and able to do the simple stuff as well as Jared Goff does it and let all those weapons produce? And you don't have the same weapons yet. You don't. You don't have the same quality line yet. You don't. But it's closer. But either way, when Jared Goff just started relaxing and doing what he thought was the right thing to do based on the system he was in and using his guys, then look at the numbers for Jared Goff, man. And he's got a fraction of the talent that Caleb does in creating. That's why people dream, because they dream on Caleb being able to do all the extra stuff when the basics break down. Do the basics now.
So, but the basics, though, that's something too. And Sean did a great job yesterday of breaking down to us what those basics are and what it looks like. Here's what he said about what the tape tells him on how Caleb can get better.
I don't think he has bad fundamentals from a footwork standpoint. He throws the ball with a good base. The release point is pretty consistent. I think he struggles at times to see in-breaking routes that are in between the hashes. So a lot of times you don't see him throwing the ball with anticipation from that 12 to 20-yard in-breaking area in the middle of the field. That can be improved. The problem is mentally, he's so used to creating explosive plays by extending the play that it gets him into trouble. So when you put him behind what last year was a below average offensive line, and then his predisposition with trying to create explosive plays, then you get a lot of negative yardage plays. So the first thing I'm going to do if I'm coaching him, and I think the old Ohio State coach is the quarterback. I mean, Ohio State quarterback is the quarterback coach here, right? JT Barrett?
Yes.
Is that who it is? So the first thing I'm going to do if I'm JT is I'm going to tell Caleb, listen, you never go broke taking a profit. We're going to surround you with great personnel. I'm going to pull up Jared Goff film and show Caleb how many yards were produced by just throwing the ball on time to Jahmyr Gibbs, and I'm drawing a blank on the other running back, the one that was in Chicago.
Montgomery.
Detroit. Montgomery. All right, that's the first cut up that I'm going to show Caleb. Jared throwing the ball to the check down on time in rhythm and all the production that came from that. Because that's where the remake of Caleb has to begin.
I really, again, like the context, especially the early stuff about making those throws on the crossing routes between the hashes. And I know that Caleb did some of that. But what he's describing there is also a version of the way that Mike Martz talks about it, that others have talked about it. You got to see it. You got to see it and trust it. Before these guys are open, you have to see them crossing and coming into that open space and hit them while they're moving. That's what Ben Johnson's offense takes advantage of, with guys moving across and like, he's about to be open, I'll hit him in stride, and there it is. Can you see it and trust it? Instead of, like Sean says, holding the ball too long and ending up having to create something.
It's one of the things that young quarterbacks often struggle with, anticipatory throwing.
You bet.
You're calibrating for speed. You're calibrating for the things that defenses try to do, especially when they're trying to confuse young players. So you work through all of that. And the hope is that Caleb Williams now with 17... Which, by the way, we haven't talked enough about the fact that he played every game. We haven't. Like, that's significant that your quarterback didn't miss any time. There's some luck involved, too. But the fact that he was out there and he now has 17 game tapes from last year that he gets to go back over and say, man, I missed Rome on that one. Man, I should have trusted that DJ was open on that one. I should have thrown it. There's now NFL tape for him to study.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, oh, well, I did all this stuff in college. Yeah. I mean, I won the Heisman Trophy. And then you realize, okay, now I have a better understanding for what I'm going up against every single week.
And that, yeah, it, absolutely. And that's why it's not as big of an ask as coming in as a rookie is. Like, I asked Leisure this yesterday and thought about it with Sean, too. Is year two in a brand new system as big of an ask as year one as a rookie in a brand new system? And the answer is no, because of what you're saying. Like, he's learned the ways of the NFL and the speed of the NFL.
Hopefully he has.
Well, he's had a chance to anyway.
Right.
And now he has a year's worth of NFL tape.
Figuring out like how you fit into this different ecosystem and what your skills are, like how to throw that. And that's another thing that Sean talked about, like the concept of touch, that this throw requires this. This throw in this league requires this.
Yeah.
And figuring out how to calibrate that, now he can look at himself and go, man, I rushed that throw. I was feeling pressured, and I actually wasn't pressured.
You remember the underthrow on a deep ball to DJ Moore in England against Jacksonville? They beat the hell out of him. And it could have even been bigger. That was a touchdown waiting to happen. He underthrew it by about 15 yards. Like, it was, and maybe 15 is too much. Maybe it was 10. It felt enormous. Like, and it was an obvious underthrow, and he knew it. And he went to the bench and was like, you know, unhappy about it. I find myself wondering, what would JT Barrett say? What would Ben Johnson say? As opposed to what Shane Waldron said. What joke
That's
would
what
they
he would
have
say.
Made? What joke would they have made, and would Caleb have reacted better to it? Well, we'll get him next time, right?
They call elevators lifts here.
It's a circle. It's a traffic circle, but they call it a roundabout. Isn't that funny? It's a Yes song. You ever hear that one?
You guys ever have blood sausage? It's actual blood.
The brick-by-brick building that Ben Johnson wants to do has me excited. The idea of, hey, man, I'm going to sit down with you. We're going to put together an offense that we like. We're not going to just say, here's the Ben Johnson offense. I really like that he is seemingly not as dogmatic as other people in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Even though he's had a system that works. But it feels like that system is evolution.
The system was intuitive and not dogmatic to begin with. And now he's got another chance to build it fresh. And he knows that's how you actually do it. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, man. And that personality, it's because it's like, if you're Caleb, you come in with so much trust for Ben Johnson. You should be coming in with a crazy amount of trust and buy-in. They bought into you and gave you all this stuff. Now you buy into them, Olin.
Yeah, well, yes, that's what Olin said, and Olin was right. That's what Sean King said.
Yeah.
Sean King said submit.
Right.
And again, we do not king shame on this show. If that's how you get down, if that's what you like.
Trying to think.
As long as everyone involved is good with it.
Do you guys have a top kink that you want to talk about on the air or no?
Bruce Levine is next on All Things Baseball. Opening day is tomorrow. And let's get Bruce's thoughts on the Cam Smith, Matt Shaw thing and other Cubs stuff.
Speak no kinks, not even Ray Davies.
So, yeah, we'll talk to Bruce and we'll figure all that out next on the Spiegel at Home show here on The Score.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.